Project Sapient is a podcast meant to engage our brothers and sisters in law enforcement and military communities in conversations that we all know we need to have. All opinions you'll hear are our own, are protected by our First Amendment of the United States Constitution, and in no way reflect or are meant to reflect the opinion of any specific agency, officer, or service member. Some opinions may be controversial. Listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
All right, guys, it is midweek, Gather around and sit for your roll call.
We have a fire going.
Yeah, exactly.
Gather around.
Gather around, children. We have stories to tell.
Hold on, let me get my pipe.
Yeah. All right, everybody. How's, hopefully everybody is doing great, being safe, doing the job that we're all doing in those tough times. It's getting towards the end of the year. So this midweek, we would like to actually talk about this officer out in Lodi, California. Officer Erica, and forgive me if I'm mispronouncing, Uria.
You're totally fucking that up.
Yeah, I probably totally am. If anyone knows her, please do not give her my email. That way I don't get punched across the screen.
Hate. Yeah. Hate punch through the fucking email.
Exactly. So it's actually, she did a phenomenal job. Absolutely phenomenal job rescuing.
Yeah, she did.
Old man on a wheelchair. With an oncoming train on the way. This was at this article actually that we found dated August 13th of 2020, so just a few months ago. And it was around 8:44 a.m. when this occurs. So we got a YouTube video with the body cam. So if you guys just listen, and you could probably tell exactly what's going on. And if you want to look it up, look it up, Lodi, California, and look up probably officer rescues man from train, and you'll get the video to watch. So, Pete, why don't we go ahead?
Yeah, yeah, it's 46 seconds long, guys, so I'm just going to go ahead and play it, okay? There it is.
I'll be out with the mail sack on the tracks trying to get him out. Go on, can you get up? Get up.
Dude.
Yeah, right?
Dude, holy shit.
Seconds. So, seconds. I'll go over the narrative real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Of what happened. So, Officer Erica, again, apologies for mispronouncing, Uria of Lodi Police Department in California was patrolling Lodi Avenue near the railroad tracks around 8:44 a.m. when she saw the man on the tracks. As she pulled up in her car, Uria noticed that the man, who was only identified as a 66-year-old man, 66 years old, appeared to have his wheelchair stuck on the tracks as the crossing arms were coming down and an oncoming Union Pacific locomotive.
So he wasn't trying to kill himself.
No. He was stuck.
Just legitimately stuck. Poor old guy, dude. Yeah, Holy shit.
And imagine seeing this Union Pacific locomotive fast on the way. And you know, those trains just don't stop.
No. It takes them miles to stop.
Oh, yeah. Depending on the speed of the train, it takes it forever. So she pulled up and she saw it was fast approaching, and Officer Uria in the video bolted from her cruiser, ran towards the man. You can hear her call over the radio.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what she's doing, and attempting to pull his chair off the tracks in the span of 4 seconds, seeing it wedged. She then pulled him out of the chair And Urrea and the man both fell to the ground as a locomotive barreled across the track. The video shows, amid a frightening thud of the train striking the wheelchair and the man's leg. So yeah. It did actually hit his leg.
Yeah, she saved his life.
She saved his life. The time between Urrea exiting the vehicle and the train crossing was 15 seconds.
Wow.
Imagine that. And we got this from the Sacramento Bee. So thank you for posting that good article on that officer.
Does the article say, was it a call for a person on there?
No.
She was on patrol.
She was just patrolling.
So I could speak for myself, but a lot of times when I'm patrolling, there's a lot of meowing going on in my, meow, 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 meow. So this woman.
That's a midnight shifter, people.
That's, hey.
Yeah.
Day walker. Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
Piss me off. I'm going to go to sleep. I mean, we don't do that. So this woman, she's patrolling. She's probably like, oh, look at that over there. Look at that over there. And then, oh, shit, there's an old man stuck in a wheelchair.
Oh, shit, the train arms are coming down.
And the train
gate. Yeah, train gates are coming down.
And she risks life and limb, gets out. You could tell from the body camera, she just she thought nothing. She just went up, grabbed the guy.
Yeah.
The guy was a little bit bigger. He's in a wheelchair. I don't know anything about this officer, but it's still trying to drag a human being is tough.
Oh, yeah, especially, disabled humans. In reality, it's not like the way the movies show where you can just, or maybe if you're Schwarzenegger, but you can't just pick somebody up and throw them on your shoulder and pretend like it's nothing. No, dead weight.
Yeah. That's an amazing job. If anybody knows this officer, Erica Urrea, however we pronounce it, Lodi, California, please let us know.
Yep.
Please have them listen to the podcast. Get to our email address. We want to send her something. Again, every week we're doing a midweek roll call, and we're highlighting the best of law enforcement. And we just did a simple Google search and found that, and it just happened to be in August.
Yeah.
So we were like, yeah, let's highlight that. Absolutely. So the one good thing is that his life was saved.
Yes.
Yeah, he lost it. Was it one leg or two?
I don't know if he lost. It just says injured.
So. He was already in a wheelchair.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Sucks that you lost your leg, but you're alive.
Yeah.
That's somebody's grandpa.
Yeah.
That's somebody's dad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And this woman went under those gates, and she did God's work.
Oh, yeah.
She did God's work.
It's talking about that, like, guardian angel watching over that guy's back.
Or, yeah.
It's amazing the things that first responders do without thinking twice.
Sometimes kind of stupidly.
Well, yes, but that's kind of the thing that's ingrained in our DNA of just jumping, acting. You know, it's that whole, the whole mantra of look before you leap. First responders really don't have that time to look. We sometimes, or most times, have to leap.
Let me ask you something. I'm going to make a statement. Tell me what you think.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's love.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'll tell you why.
I think, I agree with you. Deep down inside, yeah.
It's a love for our fellow human beings.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
I am in a position where I can, therefore I will.
Yeah.
Right? But thinking of that, I'm like, what would you do for a friend? What would you do for a family member? Mm-hmm. What would you do for your kid or whatever it may be?
Yep.
You're going to leap.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's what the public needs to realize is that for 99.9% of the population, we have that love.
Absolutely.
That protector. Not only we did an episode with talking about the oath.
Yes.
We've sworn and we're going to do it. We have a love for life, in essence, we should call that. Maybe that's what we should call it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A love for life.
Oh, you mean we're not out there hunting and shooting everybody?
We're not supposed to talk about that.
Oh, crap. Sorry.
The hunt.
Yeah, the hunt.
The purge.
Actually, once I was called a wolf, and I'm part of it. I kind of
like that.
It was from, I was in a part of the city that we call as the Republic, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, and it's amazing that I was just standing there, just, get out of my car, grab a bottle of water from a local 7-Eleven, go back towards my car, and...
How dare you get water?
Exactly, and this guy's standing there, and he's like, you know what, And what? It's like, you're a wolf.
I would have been like, thank you.
I was like, wow. All right, what makes you say that? And he went and he started rambling, and I kind of ignored him because I realized that it's not going anywhere. It wasn't going to go the way I thought it was going to go.
You know what I start doing now with that shit? You know what I start doing?
Yeah.
I turn my body camera on.
Oh, well, yeah.
I turn my body camera on because they start acting bad shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, hold on a second.
Yeah.
And then it's like they hear the beep, and you're like, hey, this body camera's recording. And half of them stop because they're like, I don't want to look like a dickhead.
Yeah.
And then half of them just keep going. Yeah. And it's like, we really should give the public as much access to our body cameras as humanly possible.
You know, it's funny you say body camera. Like this officer, you're a great job. Body camera gave the image, the video, the feel, true narrative of what happened. I love the shows that show the body camera where, you know, people go into IA to do a complaint, and IA shows them the body camera of that officer, and sure enough, you'll see the person complaining. Oh. that day I had a very bad day.
Yeah.
I drank too much.
Yeah.
And personally, if I, you know, again, I think these people should be charged for filing a false report. Because in the end, at the bottom of that line, it says,
You attest
that the statement you gave is true.
Yep.
And, you know, based on perjury, whatever, you know, however the wording is, but I think you should be charged for falsifying statements.
Let's see what that does to the numbers, right? To the internal affairs complaints.
Yeah, right.
We're not going to say that some internal affairs complaints aren't merited, right? Yeah, There's cops that do stupid fucking things. Mm-hmm. And by all means, expose them. Punish them, right?
Absolutely.
But we all know the simple fact is that 90% of the complaints out there are bullshit?
Oh, hell yeah.
Or more, 95?
Oh, I'd say 95%
are complete bullshit.
Complete bullshit.
Right. I know because any one of the complaints I've ever gotten has been complete bullshit.
I have had a complaint, an IA investigation against me for racial profiling. Here I am. And I was called a white officer. I don't think I'm very white. And my partner, who is Latino, and my backup officer, who's Asian.
Uh-huh.
But we were all labeled as a sea of white officers surrounded me, you know, him.
Drama.
Good thing there were cameras at the time. This was a long time ago. Good thing there were cameras and it was all unfounded, but it was quite the experience. So yes, body cam, please turn them on. Show, you know, like, should be public access. Like, you know what? Let me watch, you know, at this police department, their body cams for the week and just watch the insanity. Watch the show.
Yeah.
You know, like we say, you know, being a cop is like the greatest show on earth.
It absolutely is.
You've got some of the wildest stories that you will never, like as a civilian, you'll probably never see it. Like this officer, she wakes up in the morning, whether I believe, 844 sounds like a day shift officer.
Daywalker.
Exactly. A daywalker, as Pete so lovingly puts it. Probably got her coffee, roll call, went out the door, started her day to patrol around, whatever. Guy gets stuck on the train track. She sees arms come down, and here comes a locomotive moving at full speed. That's the start of her day.
But can you imagine the absolute terror in this man's...
Oh, my God.
And he had no idea from watching the video. When you guys pull it up, you'll see it. He had no idea she was behind him.
Oh.
He had no idea.
Talk about the relief. His leg got hit but my God, I mean, it's an amazing video to watch, an amazing show of courage on that officer. And again, she didn't even think twice. You can tell there was no hesitation. Didn't even think twice. She just ran out.
It's that love, bro. It's that love. That's all it is. It's that love of life.
Yeah.
It's that not on my watch type of thing. You know what I mean? Which messes us up sometimes because the universe is the universe and we can't control it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we've all lost people that we thought we were going to save.
Yes.
But it's that love, man. No matter what, she's a 14-year veteran too. I'm reading here.
Oh, really? Okay.
She's 14-year veteran on the force. Was honored at the Lodi Police Station by.
Oh, MP. She got an award.
She got an award.
Oh, perfect.
And California Operation Lifesaver.
The
most rewarding thing this woman got, this officer got, I can tell you guys right now, and everybody will agree with me, is that she saved a human being's life.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, how many times have you done things that you've never gotten recognition for, and you don't care about getting recognition for.
I don't care. But that video, again, like modern technology with body cameras and everything, like that stuff gets seen more now.
I think as it should.
Yeah, absolutely.
When they came out, it was a little bit of the fear of the unknown for me, because I'm like, Jesus Christ, like what else do they want, right? But once I started recording, I was like, this isn't bad. Like I'm not doing anything wrong, so what the hell am I scared of, right? And I'll give you a quick story. During the whole COVID thing, right? We weren't ordered not to engage when traffic stops and stuff like that, but it was kind of like, be careful, guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you want to, do it. If you don't, we get it.
Yeah.
And I totally understood. I didn't want to make contact with people.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to get COVID. So maybe about 3 or 4 months ago, when things started kind of declining and getting a little bit more open, I made a traffic stop.
Mm.
I had zero issues in the traffic stop.
Mm.
Absolutely none. And it was, without giving out information, it was two cars that I had pulled over.
Mm.
And I issue them the citations. I walk back and I'm like, I remember thinking to myself, wow, it's been a long time since I pulled someone over.
Yeah.
Right? Nothing at all. One of my buddies calls me. He's like, hey, we're going to go eat. Let's go eat. Whatever, this and that. Business as usual. 4 or 5 hours later, we're talking like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. I get a call from the supervisor. And they're like, hey, can you come in? Okay, what's up? I go in there and they said, this guy's complaining. I said, who?
Mm.
Like, I haven't talked to anybody in months. I didn't even think of the traffic stop, right? Yeah. And he was like, did you pull so-and-so over? And I'm like, oh, shit, yeah, I just did. They were drag racing, essentially.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm like, what did he say?
Yeah.
And he was like, you started with racial wording.
Yeah.
You started screaming at him at the top of your lungs and blah, blah, blah. And there was a buddy of mine that was standing there with me. And he was like, yeah, it was probably Pete screaming at people. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, Sergeant, why don't you just review the body camera?
Yeah.
Right. And he's like, good idea. Review the body camera. I was on, they kind of do it on their own. They watch it on their own. He's like, hey, Pete, come back in here. I'm so sorry, dude. Yeah. And I'm like, sorry for what? Like, you're doing your job, right?
Yeah,
but why don't we talk to this guy and explain to him the severity of what he's trying to do? Because if I didn't have that body camera, imagine he made really bad accusations.
Yeah.
I could have been screwed. I could have been fired. I could have, you name it. I could have been charged with something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, guys, maybe it's the devil you know versus the devil you don't know, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
well, here's the thing. Like one of my philosophies or whatever, this quote, I don't remember who said it, but, it's kind of a great quote. It's basically a character of man is judged by not when people are looking at him, but when he's alone.
Yes.
You know, so whatever. Give me a body cam. Give me three body cams.
Absolutely.
360 view. I have no problems whatsoever. And
none.
And again, to me, like with Pete's example, that's what needs to be shown, where even the, let's say you have the bad actor police, now they know they got a body cam.
It mitigates the issue.
Exactly. Now they are forced to act accordingly.
But here's the fucked up part, right? So the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, great intentions with what they have, right?
Yeah.
We are sworn to uphold people's civil liberties.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the ACLU is, their intentions are amazing. They want to make sure that everybody's treated equally. They were one of the first to come begging for body cameras.
Yeah.
Right? Have you heard what's happened recently?
Oh, I know. There was a privacy issues now or something.
No, they don't want them as much.
Oh, okay.
And why don't they want them as much is because they were reviewing body cameras and police departments were actually like, here's all of them.
Yeah.
Take them.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay. And they were reviewing them and they're like, oh, wait, the person making complaint was kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't be posting these. And I was like, really?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you want?
Yeah. Well, the narrative is not fitting anymore. It's the narrative.
That narrative, it's not selling for them.
Yeah.
Oh.
When they get a body cam footage of, Joe Schmo, who drank one too many beers and throwing them at the police and attacked the police, and they had to tune him up because he, well, I shouldn't say tune him up, but he was very assaultive to the police, and the police had to react accordingly and put handcuffs on him. Well, there you go. Here's the body cam that shows your client or your complainer doing what he does.
Look, I'm not for. There's some municipalities that had sworn that they would never get body cameras, right? Mm-hmm. And then they ended up getting them.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, we get it. And then they were like, okay, they'd make policies and say that whenever you interact with the public, turn them on. Fair enough. Then you have legislators that are coming into town and saying, we don't want them turned on during an incident. We want them turned on for the entirety of the shift. And it's like, so you want to watch me piss?
Yeah, right.
Like, you want them on while I'm driving around doing absolutely nothing. And you explain to them about the whole 30-second thing, how I don't know about all the body cameras, but I know Axon does like a 30-second loop.
Yeah.
Sometimes even a minute or two, depending on how you do the settings. But you explain to them, they're like, oh, no, we don't care. And then you ask and say, has there been problems where you've looked at like an incident and, oh, I wish I saw 30 seconds before that. And they're like, no, we really just want them on 24/7.
Here's the thing. Why would they want to listen to a private conversation between, let's say, me and my wife, me and my kids?
So their reasoning, again, I agree with you.
Yeah.
But their reasoning, I don't want to say I'm playing devil's advocate because I don't want to. But their reasoning is you're a public servant. When you're in that cruiser, nothing you do is private. And it's like, okay, so when I'm picking my nose, that's not private?
Mm-hmm.
Or when I'm talking to my wife, is that's not private?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it's within our rules and regulations where you can conduct private business. You just have to conduct it accordingly.
I think the legislators sometimes forget about something called the U.S. Constitution.
That pesky little document.
I know. It is a very, very annoying document to continuously reference over and over again.
Kind of getting sick of referencing it, right?
Yeah, I know. I think their oath that they swore, I think they should read it again.
I think they need to be reminded, yeah. I mean, because here's the thing. A lot of these politicians, right, they'll go into politics with the wrong intentions.
Yeah.
They want power.
Yeah, oh yeah, power hungry.
They don't want, and we've said it a million times, they don't want to be the representatives of the people. They want to be the leaders.
Yeah.
And that's where there's that disconnect. We need to remind them they're not leaders.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are the leaders. You obey us. Not obey. I don't want to say obey. You represent us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's kind of like we recognize as oath takers that we serve the public.
Yeah, exactly.
We work for the public.
Exactly.
Right. And we joked about it. Yeah. We pay each other and blah, blah, blah. Right.
Pay our taxes.
But it's true. Can I have a raise?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
But it's true. Right. We serve the public.
Yeah.
We're there.
Yeah.
I get it. These politicians need to be reminded that they serve the public.
Yes.
And they serve them in a greater capacity than we do.
Yeah.
Because as much as we have the ability to take away their rights, take away their life, take away all their everything.
Yeah.
These politicians have much more power.
Oh, yeah. They can change the course of a community, an entire community.
An entire state in some circumstances. Yeah,
with one piece of legislation.
Look at all the lockdowns. Look at all the bullshit. Where,
oh, yeah.
Like, even in this state, dude, in this state that is so far left, it blows my mind, are so against lockdowns and all that. Mm-hmm. They're so against the left policies. And I'm like, what's going on here?
Dude, we're in a paradox.
We are in a paradox.
But anyways, going back, let's not take away from what we intended to talk about tonight. So this officer, Officer Uria, outstanding job, and you deserve every award you get. And please, if anyone knows her, once again, reach out to us, projectsapient2020@gmail.com. Again, projectsapient2020@gmail.com. Send us your comments, questions, Officer Uria, if you're able to reach out to us, please reach out to us. Would love to talk to you. And everybody, have a safe rest of the week, and we will talk to you soon. Say bye, Pete.
See you later, guys.